I mean, is it wrong? We can talk about the fact that, you know, Halle Berry has, you know, found the fountain of youth. She drank it.
I said that the moment she showed up on screen, like, how does she look like this? Like,
she's like, all right,
I paused
it. Daddy.
I paused it. She just turned 60, right?
Like, you paused it.
Yeah, dog. It's, again, I do understand. 58.
Kat did go. Kat did go, how old is she? And I was like, 54. And then Kat was like, I think she's 60. And then she was, I mean, I was the closest without going over, but she was very close.
She was closest numerically.
In actual years.
Look, I remember again, I didn't know what was what when I was younger, but I remember watching Flintstones, okay?
She recently tweeted, what's the first movie you remember?
Flintstones.
But then she put a GIF image of her in Flintstones, and I was like, that is the first movie.
Literally, even to this day, there is no reason for them to make someone look that attractive in a kid's movie. So much so that the reason she shows up is they're trying to get Fred Flintstone to take this job, to swindle him, and she comes in, the music... The sexy music starts playing, like legitimately, like the sexy music starts playing, and they pan from feet up, and then I think she comes in and like lays on his desk and starts asking him. I was like, this, it is a child.
He definitely sits on his desk or something.
Child's movie. It makes no sense. She's the only person in the movie, the only woman in the movie with a two-piece. Like, it don't make sense. Like,
was Losing Isaiah before that though? Because that would be the thing that I remember her from.
It might have been.
But I don't know.
Losing Isaiah was 95. That was 95.
Flintstones was 94?
I thought Flintstones was 96. 95 too.
Flintstones was 94.
Oh, 94.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And then Boomerang. Wow, Boomerang was 92. Yo.
Oh, Boomerang.
I didn't see Boomerang until later.
Okay, same. But Boomerang, I think so. Would be the... No, I saw Boomerang back then. So that would have been first.
I remember seeing it, but there's no way. Let me get this out of the way. I don't like when these movies try to make you believe someone who is utterly attractive is not. In Boomerang, they keep talking about, oh, she's just cute. She's so wholesome. Like, right. She ain't that bad. Yeah. I'm like, what are we talking about, man?
Well, she was young and played mousy.
Jada Pinkett in Shame, where it was just like, that's not the girl, you know? And it's like, what are you talking about?
Did you
it
see is. Jada in Shame?
It's her. What are you talking about?
I remember the name Peaches to this day. To this day.
Yeah.
That movie was like, oh, she's not the attractive one. You got to go with Robin Givens. And I was like, I'm so utterly confused how they try to... That's like when you watch those teen movies when we were younger and it's like somebody with a ponytail and glasses on and then they take the glasses off and put the hair down and it's like, oh my God, she's a beauty queen.
Yeah, they made fun of that in Not Another Teen... I mean, that was She's All That. And she's then they did that. They parodied it.
Well, they give a dude a haircut.
Not Another Teen Movie.
It's like, oh man, you cut his hair. Look at him. Gave him contacts.
Yeah, do the makeover, man. Yeah. though you would be surprised. You can't make some... I mean, you know, every now and then you watch Queer Eye and some of these dudes, they make over and you're like, wow, this person actually does look at least three numbers better than they did before. At least.
I realize that about the artist Her. Every time I see Her with glasses and without glasses, I'm like, I understand how people get Clark Kent and Superman confused. Every time
I think I said this before on the pod, but there are people that have introduced themselves to me when I'm not wearing my glasses that like know me, that like I have, that like know me. Oh, hey, I'm such
a... You're like,
who are you?
Literally, we've been taught. We've been meeting each other. We've been on Zooms and in person and meeting.
Bro, I mean, James, I don't know, man. Maybe, I mean, you kind of, that's a little bit spy-like. You should think about joining the union.
Okay.
You like how I used it in the proper context of the film?
Honestly, we've seen him do worse.
I mean, because that is a spy. I mean, like, if you can, if you can disguise yourself that well, be that inconspicuous, you know, I think you should think about joining the union.
All right.
Did you have to say it again, though?
Yeah, I didn't like it. Sort of like, we tried to get a knife to say it again.
Yeah, we tried to give you a little something.
I'm just saying, forget the CIA. No FBI.
He's doing it again.
The union.
He did it again.
That's where it's at.
Why were they called the union? Because it was seemingly not a union between, because they're in London, right? But it wasn't like a union between It wasn't a union between like the U.S. government and all right.
Also, why were they working out of London?
You know, that's where
exactly,
they
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Guys, this is all stuff we could talk about after the show starts. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Raylock, James III, Drum Milligan.
All right. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Where did Jersey go?
Oh, that's a good. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Where did Jersey go? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was all right,
sense.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes
sense. I'm sure Hallie had some line I could have said. Or
yeah.
I was going to say, I don't remember exactly the first part of this, but it was something like, they're not Korean. I know that because I'm Korean.
Okay.
Ugh, I don't even remember that. Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
She also had a line. She also goes for no reason at all. Yes, queen.
Yeah. Yeah. She sees her fight all the time.
I literally was like, there was a part of me that was like, where did this character come from? Like she, like what? Like all of a sudden, I was like, we had seen her for like a few scenes, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, is she the comedic relief? Like, what? Like
she
when did
have
where
a,
did,
when she's testing his
where
reflexes?
Are these jokes?
Oh, yeah, that right. was that yeah. bit was funny.
She was doing comedy the whole time.
Yeah, but like, but we didn't need a random yes queen. After Halle Berry murdered somebody, after they were just going through murdering these people.
Yes, Queen was a crazy line. Holy heck.
Shocking.
Can you tell this was written by two guys named Joe Barton and David Guggenheim?
Yes. Yes, I can tell.
All right. Sorry, guys. Listen, hey, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. If this is the first time listening, we're so happy to have you here. This is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors and talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. All right. There are three of us on this podcast. All of us have distinctive voices. The voice you're listening to now is actually a homegrown, you know, this is a Jersey
Terrace?
Voice. You know what I mean? This is Jersey, you know, in the Patterson off the 190. Okay, right, you know, exit 151. You know,
James,
we're talking about
Jersey.
We're Jersey.
Now he's Jersey.
Get us a glass of water, okay? You know what I'm talking about. Introduce me to your daughter. You know what I'm saying.
Water.
You know what I'm saying.
What is
hey,
happening?
Bro. Hey, I'm ordering a Taylor AM egg and cheese. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Listen. The voice that sounds like that, that's Jonathan Braylock.
Oh my gosh. This voice is at a Drop Milligan. That man said a water.
This voice is James III.
All right. And today we are reviewing the new Netflix film, The Union. You might be saying to yourself, what's this? It's a film? Yes, it is. It just came out on Netflix. Guess who it stars? Halle Berry and Mark Wahlberg. I know. Yeah. Those are two really big movie stars. I know. You never heard of it. Well, it's out. It's on Netflix right now.
This was being advertised to us. We saw these ads. Kat and I
saw the trailers.
Yeah. The first time we saw it, though, was maybe about a week ago. But
and you
I'll
saw
tell
it on
what,
Netflix.
On Netflix. We saw it on Netflix. And we said, you know what? Add this to favorites.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
We going to see this.
Oh,
We going to watch it. Okay.
We going to watch it. And then I ended up watching it by myself for this because
that's all right.
But we did want to watch the film together.
This isn't like a rom-com. Like, is this like an action? Like, what is this? Just a
definitely
action comedy?
A rom-com. Or? I would definitely consider it an action comedy.
Action comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
Action comedy, but then you could put romance, like if you're putting a bunch of different, like if you could put a romance category sticker on it, but it's not.
Yeah, not, I mean, in the way that most action films have some sort of love interest, not not in the way that this was like an actual What's crazy movie is, about love.
Variety is calling this Netflix's new rom-com spy thriller. Yeah. What?
That's what Variety says?
Rom-com spy thriller.
What?
That's interesting.
Do they even kiss in this
I gotta
movie?
Say, makes sense to me.
Wikipedia, I think, is more accurate. It calls it a spy action comedy thriller.
Yeah,
and the answer to them kissing in this movie is no, they don't. And apparently, people
spoiler
like asked. They were like asking, like, why don't they kiss in this movie? And the director's response was something like, I didn't read the article, but I read the top line of the mm-hmm. headline of the article was like, you have to think of this as a three picture movie.
Oh my god.
Okay. Well,
so we can, like it's like we got to build to that kiss.
Sure. Okay.
And then it's great. Sex in the third one. You know?
Okay. 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 that director is Julian Farino. He's directed a lot of television. Which is great. Hey, direct me in a television show. All right. The union.
And honestly, it feels like it. The movie does feel like this person really understands television.
Yeah. Mike, a down-to-earth construction worker, is thrust into the world of super spies and secret agents when his high school sweetheart, Roxanne, recruits him on a high-stakes U.S. intelligence mission. That is the little premise of the film. This movie has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, a 30% audience score. Okay, that's rare. Wow. It's rare to see an audience score less than the critics, but
wow,
that's what we got. That's what we got. And like we said, you got Mark Wahlberg, you got Halle Berry, Mike Coulter, aka
yes, Mike Coulter, Luke Cage
is in this film. We also have J.K. Simmons and Jackie Earle Haley, who
I was surprised.
You Watchmen fans, plays Rorschach. He was also in the older reboot of not Friday.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street. I thought he was a good choice for Freddy.
I thought he was too at the time.
Too much CGI. Entirely too much CGI, among other things. But it too was, much CGI, for
they
sure.
They had such an interesting concept. They introduced the concept of micro sleep or something. Mm-hmm. Like when you stay awake for too long, you don't even know when you're dreaming. Like your body will just go to sleep and you won't even know when you're dreaming. Mm-hmm. And I remember when they said that in the trailer, I was like, oh my God, this is about to be the scariest Friday the 13th of all time. Like, you don't know when it's the dream world, when it's not. And they completely did nothing with that premise. Like, I swear to God, like they still made it obvious that it was like when the dreams were dreams. And I was just like, what are you doing? Like, this could be horrific.
You should never know. You should never know.
Yeah.
I was like, they did it better in freaking Freddy versus Jason when Kelly Rowland fell asleep.
And a few times actually in Freddy versus Jason, they do a great job of you not quite knowing it's a dream for a while before it becomes a dream. Yeah.
All right. Anyway, enough of that. This is The Union. There is no box office because this is a Netflix film. Netflix also did a great job of hiding what the budget of this film was because
it's 200. You know it's 150 or 200. You know it. They was on location,
it's funny.
Baby.
It's like this movie both felt like, well, obviously this movie costs a lot of money to make. And then there were times where I was like, did they cut down on the budget? Like some of this stuff looks.
Like it's the locations. I'm like, oh, y'all were actually filming here. Y'all did something. You know what I mean? Like
wild.
You had Mark Wahlberg and Holly and JK. I'm like, y'all wasn't paying them pennies. So it's got to be over 150.
Yeah.
Got to be.
Yeah. This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck, then access up to $100 a day as you leave work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Now, I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes we do not live a life that is week to week or 2 weeks to 2 weeks. Okay. You know that money's coming in, but you need the money right now. Maybe it's a last minute gift that you forgot. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, my dad's birthday's coming up. I didn't get him a gift yet. I need that money in my pocket, please. Sometimes a bill sneaks up on you. Hey, it's been hot. Okay. Maybe that AC bill is higher than you expected. You need that money to come in? Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in JUMP under podcast when you sign up. It's really helped the show. JUMP, J-U-M-P, under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This podcast is sponsored by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. It's an easy and exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. And all you have to do is play against the numbers. You pick more, you pick less from 2 to 6 player stat projections, and watch the winnings roll in. Okay? You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Do you know how hard that is to do? Prize Picks makes it easy. Okay? They put their members first. So all withdrawals are fast, they're safe, they're secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in as quick as 15 minutes. I start to use Prize Picks, okay? And I've been watching the WNBA. I like to root for Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And I've been just been like, you know what I mean? Just go bullish on them, get those winnings, all right? All you have to do is pick somebody like Caitlin Clark. Is she going to score more than 19 points? Absolutely. Put it in. Lock that in. All right. Is Angel Reese going to get more than 12 rebounds? You better believe it. Lock that in. Listen, it's so easy. You just look at it. You go to the sport that you want. You go to the players that you want. You click in it. You lock in your picks. Could not be easier. Download the Prize Picks app today and use code Hollywood and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code Hollywood on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. All right. Well, should we do initial thoughts?
Yeah.
Who likes to start?
Yeah, I could start since I wanted to see the movie.
Great.
Yeah, like when Kat and I saw the trailer, like we really thought like, okay, yeah, Mark Wahlberg, like being silly, you know, Halle Berry being a badass, like let's see this. Let's watch this movie on Friday, you know, after the baby goes to sleep. That was like what the thought was. And so I was like looking forward to it. But the movie immediately starts with a strange sexual relationship that is confusing and it just hovers over the entire movie. And so like that's the first thing. And then like I don't know, man, like it feels like a paint by numbers kind of spy movie. There's a twist in the middle of the movie, in air quotes, that just is like so obvious from the beginning. And like the direction was particularly in the second half. I was sort of on board for some of the stuff in the first half, but particularly in the second half, the direction is stale. Like there's like weird angles that like don't make sense. And like we kind of see people staged. This is why I was like, oh, it really feels like this director knows TV. Like we have a lot of people feeling like they're staged for the camera, but not for life, mm-hmm. like not like where they would be in real life necessarily. And so like it was just there was a point towards the beginning where I was like, oh, I think I appreciate kind of how subtle the outside of that weird sex joke, but how like the kind of subtle humor stuff that's happening in the background. But then over time, I just sort of it hit me like, oh, like these are just really kind of basic jokes that are not even being executed well. Like what seemed like peppering the scene was like, oh no, they're like, they don't know how to land this joke or like how to make sure we deliver this joke. So I just felt like by the end of it, I was just like, what is this? And I don't want to see more union. They're like, I got another job for you. I'm like, I can't see a union too. I can't see a union too. I don't want. What? I will say I do appreciate like the scene where they go into the like racism of the parents. I was like, wow, they're just doing this. They're just talking about this real thing that like happens, you know?
Yeah.
And like, it just is in this movie. All right. You know, I appreciated it. So that's it. And then, you know, we'll talk about it more specifically.
I can go. Let's see. What do we got here? The union. Halle Berry, man, I like Halle Berry. And she looks good in the film. She's a good action star, you know. And hey, Mark Wahlberg is a fun guy. You know.
Are you trying to fill this space?
What? No, initial thoughts about the movie. He had some, you know. I like Mark Wahlberg is like, oh, he's funny. And it's funny to see him as a Jersey guy, you know, because it's like he's a Boston guy. But
he couldn't get the Boston accent.
He could have New Jersey because he got Boston in him. But it almost is like, you know, we get it. It's similar.
A little bit about the story or the direction or like, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, there's a lot of spy stuff. J.K. Simmons, I like him as an actor. I really do. Mm-hmm. You know,
we like him.
He always knows how to do it. You know,
he's a good actor.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And our movie's fun, bro.
Did you like the movie or overall impression?
Yeah, it just seems like you're talking about these people in a vacuum. It doesn't seem like you're talking about them within the context of this film or
Mike Coulter. He's a beautiful man. Dude is handsome. You know? And you're like, tall. Wow, he's stout. He's like,
He was Luke Cage. He was the biggest, strongest black man in the world.
He was driving, that was a nice car he was driving Porsche. Towards the end of the film.
Yep, Porsche.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He looked good.
And you liked this movie though.
What's that?
Say when he was driving the Porsche, you liked that scene when that chase at the end, you liked that?
Oh, hey, you know, it's always good for an action film to have a car chase scene, I think.
But James, Ray liked that car chase at the end, right, Ray?
Well, Mark Wahlberg was in the trunk, you know, and I was like, that's comedy.
You thought that was creative. He was like, this is a creative thing.
Because it's like, instead of, you know, he's in the trunk and he can't get out. He doesn't know where he is, but he's a part of the car chase.
So you like that part.
You know, I would say that this film was, you know, it went for the comedy. It went for it.
And you laughed. You thought it was funny.
It went for the comedy, you would say.
It definitely went for it, I think.
You thought it was funny.
And you were like,
that's crazy.
Yes, I was like, ha, that's crazy sometimes. I definitely was, yeah. I'm actually interested in seeing maybe like a little bit more of Alice Lee. You know, it was a strange character that she had to play. It's so sad she died. Spoiler.
So you didn't like that part. That part made you sad. So the emotional through line, it got you.
I mean, Halle Berry's character was crying.
But you felt it too. Like, you almost
And I was like,
tear.
Okay. And I understood, you know, I was told that they had a friendship. So when she cried, you know, because I was told that.
And also
it made
you
sense.
Understood the weight of, because she had also just lost her previous team. And so this was now another loss. And you felt that weighing
she had
on
the,
you
the
even.
Weight.
Because you watched the movie and the movie was like, this is her friend.
Let me tell you something right now. I definitely watched this film from start to finish.
And you enjoyed it because that's the whole point of this opening. Like, did you enjoy the film at all?
Well, I think the point is my initial thoughts. And I was thinking, this movie is a Netflix film. And man, we watched it, bro. And it was, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. And the end of the movie, they didn't kiss, which I thought was a choice. Yeah.
Yeah. They talked about
that part, though.
Yeah, when they kissed and that they had kissed numerous times.
But Bray didn't like that they didn't kiss, right?
I think I gotta go ahead and say I didn't like that they didn't kiss.
Okay. Yeah. We gotta.
Yeah. So those are my initial thoughts. Oh. I gave a lot. I feel like I said a lot.
Okay. Mm. Sure.
So I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to hold up the podcast and go on a soapbox. So I'll right. give you, yeah.
Okay. Whatever. I'll take, you know, you so
what you
sure?
think? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can give you a couple more minutes if you need to say something else.
Nah, man, I'm not trying to grandstand, you know.
That's all right. We all, because you liked it. You just don't want to go into detail about what's how that? Much you liked it.
Oh. Well, I saw it, yeah, from start to finish, yeah.
And your thoughts on when you saw it. I didn't say, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
know
I know.
Your thoughts on it.
No, I gave too many thoughts already. Go ahead, Gerard. What you think? What you thought about it?
Oh, my goodness. As you know, James and John have said, you know.
Yeah, and I said a lot.
Yeah. I watched the movie for sure. You know what I mean? I was in awe at the chemistry between Halle Berry and Mark Wahlberg. I was like, oh, this is a good chemistry.
They like each other.
Yep. I mean, again, this movie told you who the big bad was immediately.
Immediately,
bro. I mean, not immediately.
Didn't
like
even try to not tell you.
You knew exact. I was like, don't show him get shot. Then, like, don't show him get shot in the chest. You know what I mean? Anyway, I thought this movie.
I'll be honest. I forgot about him.
I knew he was coming back. He was too big. I know my rules, Bray.
I mean, I know your rules. I know your rules. But I just story wise, I forgot about him because. Nobody else cared.
Exactly. Yep. They didn't mourn him in any way, shape, or form. You know what this movie showed me, you know? Is sometimes you just got to make the script. You know, I feel like sometimes you just got to make that script and get it into the right hands. And then you know what? You too could have a movie. You know what I mean? Like,
that's real.
You know, maybe a minute and 50 seconds into the movie, I was like, why are they just walking this prisoner out the front door? If this is an extraction, don't you sneak the person out? Like, out the front door is insane.
Yeah.
One.
They walked him out the front door in public. Like, in public. Front, through
guns drawn.
Full crowds
full,
of people.
Guns, full military drawn. Gear, yeah.
Okay. So that happened. Again, Mark Wahlberg had no weapons training, wasn't known to be a fighter, I guess because... When he was in high school, he didn't get stressed while being really high up, qualified him for a job. If they were going to talk about race in this movie, as they did in that scene James talked about, Halle Berry could have just said, yeah, you're really not qualified for this, but you're a straight white man, so you're super qualified for this. You know, like, it's just nothing about it made any sense. But you know what? Hey, man, they got this movie made. They got Halle Berry in it, you know? Like, yeah. I would love to, you know, get Halle Berry and Mark Wahlberg in a movie. So, you know, yeah, you know, we saw it. Like, I agree with Bray. We saw it, you know, it was a thing. And that's my impressions of it is this movie existed for an hour and 50 something minutes. Yep. Hour. And how long was this movie? An hour. Long. You know, but we're here for it. We're here. I'm excited to talk about it so I can hear really what Bray loved about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Bray is going to tell us some stuff that's just kind of like, man, I didn't even know you put those two things together. You know?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This movie, I mean, let's dive in because I think all the viewers, I mean, listeners want to hear, you know, they want to hear about the union.
Yeah, they want to know exactly what's going down.
You know? They might not have heard about the movie before they started listening to this podcast, but now they have, and they're like, what's up? You know, and I think that's fair. And if you're wondering, it does start with Halle Berry and her team. And they are, we don't know exactly what's happening. We know that they're trying to recover some stolen information by a former CIA agent. They're trying to pick him up as well. And it seems like everything's going well. You know, you got Mike Coulter in the field. You got Halle Berry on the earpiece, kind of being the lookout point. Because she's not the getaway car, because that's somebody else.
So she's the lookout that's far away. So she, for some reason, when she looks out, she can't get to them fast because that's how the lookouts work.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly why she's where she is and exactly what backup she's supposed to be supply. She doesn't do it. She doesn't help them out at all, really. Actually, she lets her whole team die. Actually, that's what happens in the beginning of this film, is that her entire team dies, kind of like Mission Impossible, except, you know, Mission Impossible's opening sequence is maybe one of the greatest action opening sequences in a spy thriller. Very surprising, because you actually, unlike, you know, even though Gerard's got his theory, you got some bigger actors who are in the opening
who die. And they don't come back. You right?
And they do not come back.
Yeah, no, we see it. They make sure we see. You see them die. You see them get impaled. You see the blood. You see the.
But very simple. But you know, and then very similarly, of course, one person you think dies and then isn't dead. And
but I gotta say, you know, a very big difference with that is you see that person die and you stick with them for a little bit before they're gone. And like,
that's true.
I even think that even that would have helped this the tiniest bit. Like, if we would have seen him like bleeding out, like anything, a scene of him dying and then, you know, not just him falling off into an abyss.
Or maybe like face down in the water, floating away or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there is a part of it that's like, well, he just got shot and then he fell in the water. So did you guys go look for him?
And he had on tactical gear and he got shot in the chest. So, and they showed us him getting shot in the chest. So,
yeah,
we saw it. Like, at least the audience knows he's not dead. So,
yeah.
But then immediately after this opening, it cuts to Halle Berry sad. And then we cut to Mark Wahlberg because no one liked this black man. They just was like, let's get a new man. So,
yeah. Yeah, and then we're with Mark Wahlberg, and hey, let me tell you something. He's in Jersey.
Facts.
You know, he's in North Jersey. I was like, this is, you know, familiar. This feels a little bit familiar. I like it. He does have that Boston accent. He wakes up, he's having sex with his old seventh grade teacher. You know, I got to go ahead and say this. I imagine this script wasn't written for 2 50-plus-year-olds to play. The age of this is wild to me, and kind of is another indication of what we've been talking about for quite some time, which is, you know, because, you know, streaming services and the way that the box office is now, the movie industry has decided you can't make a movie without an undeniable movie star. And movie stars, with the exception of literally maybe 10 people, are all 50 plus years old.
Yep.
This is what's happening. I said this about Charlize Theron in Badlands. I feel the exact same way about Mark Wahlberg here and Halle Berry to an extent, obviously. Like, they both, it just was like, it doesn't quite make sense for them to be the age that they are with the story that we're being told.
Let me say something that's crazy, Bray, is this actress is almost 70. So she is much older.
Age appropriate. Yeah. It's less about the age of the woman and more about how the dynamics are played of like him being like, I just had sex with my seventh grade teacher. It's like, when you're 50, you know what I mean? Like, when that's, you're like, well, you're 50, bro. So that's, I mean, a 30-year-old having sex with their seventh grade teacher is a different than a, you know what I mean? And then not only that, but like, we get the comedic scene after where one of the guys like, well, I could show you to my grandma. And it's like, no, your grandma's dead, sir. You're 50. Yeah. There's no freaking way your grandma's alive. You know what I mean? And if she is, she's 100. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I'm 35. I have one grandparent left. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, I was like, you're 55. You have a grandparents? Like, I don't know.
No, it was all confusing. I didn't know how I was supposed to feel here. And I thought I know that they were like, this is funny, but I was like, is it?
Like, I was just confused.
I was just confused. So
yeah, I don't know, man. This movie, yeah.
I mean, that's funny that the actress is 70, because there was a part of me that was like, I don't know, how much older can they?
That's exactly what I thought. That's exactly what I thought. I was like,
she just seems age appropriate to me.
Yeah.
Maybe slightly older.
That's how she seemed too, to me.
Yeah.
Now, she looked like grandma. I mean, even though I understand, but also I think the tough part is that generation in particular, whereas like, you know, Gen Z may look older, I feel like that generation looks younger. So you telling me this lady is 70, I'm looking at her like, I can't tell this woman's 70 years old. Like, like Bray says, she looks like the same age as Mark Wahlberg. Like, I couldn't tell you. But you know what? This scene was cool because we got to see Mark Wahlberg, you know, he's a grown man and he still uses a screwdriver to start his truck for a reason.
Yeah, what was the reason?
Because later he's gonna hotwire some cars. So we gotta know that he knows how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause this is the car he owns and drives every day.
James, that's such a good point. Sometimes you forget that the reason is because we're watching a movie and they gotta do something else later in the script.
We see him go to his construction job and he's got construction worker friends. And then he goes to the bar with his friends. And then Halle Berry shows up.
Mm.
Halle Berry. And at this point, just for clarification, is we haven't had a mourning scene with Halle Berry and her company for the people who died. So we see the last time we saw her, she had a Denzel single tear, cut to all the fun stuff with Mark Wahlberg. Next, she's in the bar buying Mark Wahlberg drinks. That's all. That's just because you were at home trying to figure out what's happening story-wise.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all ever think sometimes, and this is just a tangent, you know, when say we together separately have to go in and pitch a script and people ask all these questions and, you know, they're like, hey, does this make sense that this happens here and this happens here? And we always have an answer. And it's like, oh, this is clearly well thought out. Do you think other people have that experience where like they go in and pitch a script and, you know, maybe people don't ask them, does any of this make sense?
Mm.
Or feel justified story-wise, before they say green light or no green light?
Hmm. I mean, I hope so, man. I don't have evidence of such at times, but
I feel like it must happen, right? It must happen. But then there's that extra thing of like, there's an extra blind trust that I think comes into play in some of these, where with this one, like this one specifically, one of the writers, or maybe both of the writers, did Christmas Chronicles. That was a huge, that was a big hit. That was a big hit for Netflix. Right. It was, you know, the Kurt Russell's Christmas movie.
Yo, do you know what? Do you think, sorry, James, sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Do you guys think with AI, I can make a digital white male version of myself? So if I have to pitch something via Zoom, like that could be the avatar people see, but they don't know it's a black dude with
locks.
You
definitely can do that is the unfortunate thing. Yes, bro.
What have I been doing?
You can create a white AI avatar that can speak and feel very human.
Skylar, can I use your first name? I like the name Skylar. I feel like if I say Chad, they're going to know something up. If I say like Chad or like Christian, they're going to like, that's one of the fake ones. But Skylar, you got a unique one that sounds like, wait, what you say, Skylar? Come on. Of course, my man. Hey, James, we got to get on this, y'all. We got to get on this. I didn't know you could. Hell yes, baby.
You can do that. The thing is, you would have to figure out how to American. What was that movie? American. What's the movie that just came out?
American Fiction?
Yeah, you have to figure out how to American Fiction it to where, you know, we never actually realize that it's you. You know, you got it. You got to.
I'm not going to American Fiction it, James. I'm going to freaking Black Klansman it. Okay,
but that's what I'm saying is that Black Klansman, American Fiction.
Oh man, I'm a hired actor. Yeah, I'm a hired actor. They're gonna be like, "Why your voice is different?" The actor gonna say it's just, you know, the phone voice. Everybody gotta have a phone voice. Because I can tell you this right now, and I'm only saying this because the opening of this movie, again, the fact that they took that dude out the front door does not make sense to me. The fact that, and it is, I don't care if Halle Berry says that, like, Mark Wahlberg 25 years ago stood on the top of something without being scared. That is insanity. Now, if you're going to tell me this movie is a rom-com and, like, Mark Wahlberg is the one that got away and she always felt bad about leaving him, that's a drastically different reason for why she picked this man. Because, like, this is the guy. She's been keeping tabs on him because she loves him. And, like, you know, like, that's a different movie.
But it sort of is supposed to be that, right? Because her husband died. Like, it is supposed to be that, right? Her husband dies. And the first thing she does is run to her long lost love. Like, the first, you know, it doesn't feel like this in the movie. You know, it doesn't, we never actually get that.
Well, yeah, because we don't know that her husband has died. We don't know that she was married. So any emotional undertow to that is kind of lost to the audience. And I guess we can go back and look, but it doesn't quite feel that way. And it's hard for her Allie to play it that way because she also doesn't want to give stuff away.
Yeah, she can't. I mean, it's impossible for that to land.
How long was he dead?
Even though that is what's happening. You know, like, that's the thing that...
It is, you know, sometimes in movies, I feel like motivation, maybe it's overrated because, you know, we don't have a lot in this film. And sometimes you're like, you just want to see the thing, which is, and I guess the thing, the fun thing about this is the premise is like, here's a spy agency that takes people who are close to retirement age and makes them spies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They have no former training, but they can be, what matters more than your ability to fight and shoot and, you know, think on the level of a spy. What matters more than that is your ability to remain unseen in a background check. Because you aren't a spy and therefore no one could know that until you start doing spy stuff and then they know it immediately.
Yeah, because he wasn't scared to fight a black man. So that's how he knew.
Oh, wow, that's a great point. I forgot about that. That's right. He passed the physical test because he was ready to square up. Because he's from Jersey. The hard streets of... Patterson does have some hard streets. Patterson is different, I will say. Newark, Camden. Yeah, y'all got some... You get some street cred from being on those streets. Listen here, though. Guys, this is a white man's dream. You know? I mean, for real, right? Like, this is a white man's dream. Like, Hey, you've never left your hometown. You know, you got your friends who are drunk dummies and you have a job that doesn't pay you a lot. And you're still having, you know, your romantic flings are with the other people who have also never left the town. And what if your high school sweetheart who left and did better, bigger and better things, showed up out of nowhere and was like, I actually like you. And not only do I like you, I think you have so much potential that you should become a spy. You know, international espionage is what you're good at. And you are actually good at it. Someone just had to give you a shot. And then once they did, you become so good that you help save the world, you know, in quotation marks. But yeah. And that's what this is. It's a fantasy.
It's so interesting you said that because I was a couple other days ago on Instagram. I got it was today actually. I got this clip of Wanted, that movie with a young James McAvoy, where he plays a guy who's like geeky, and then of course the very hot Angelina Jolie shows up. It's like, yeah, you're a spy. We're gonna teach you how to be the coolest spy of all time. And then he becomes the coolest dude of all time. And when I try to think of movies like that for like people of color, I think the only movie I can think of is does that count? I mean,
I like wonder if Men in Black counts is the first thing that came to my mind. That's, but that's, it's like, does it count? But because he
is the best.
Nobody.
He's literally the best.
He's, you know, he's doing things at a level that the other cops around him are not doing.
He's the best of NYPD.
Yeah.
Wait, there's got to be one. I mean.
Wait, what are you trying to think of?
I'm trying to think of like a movie where a black person gets to like have someone say, "Hey, you're unique. Let's go do this thing." You know, like
plucked from obscurity.
Central Intelligence.
Central Intelligence.
Oh, Kev. Okay.
Central Intelligence. Yeah. Yes. Exactly that. Okay. Exactly. Yep. Central Intelligence. Yep.
We got one.
It's the only one.
Okay. Yeah.
Pluck from obscurity. I think are
there any others?
I almost thought of Meteor Man.
There's actually literally another Kevin Hart film that was made recently that was.
Which one is that? Man from Uncle.
Man from Toronto.
But he's not picked. He falls into that.
I guess is that similar with Central Intelligence?
No, the Rock.
No,
the Rock,
no. Central Intelligence. He gets.
The Rock does goes to get him.
Yeah.
Is there anyone with a black woman? I don't know, guys.
Plucked from obscurity. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No. That would be a no.
Yeah, I can't think of any. I can't think of it.
Well, you know, we got another one of these, and I'm not gonna lie to y'all. I paused this movie at 45 minutes, and it said an hour left, and I was like, "How?"
I did the same. Okay, so I did the same thing. I paused it at an hour, thinking the movie was damn near over, and we were halfway through the movie. It was that part. It's the part when they're like, "Oh, they got through the auction." I was like, "Damn, this." I guess we've been going for an hour 45 minutes. But at this point, a whole hour left. Like, I couldn't.
What's so funny is like the beats. Like the story is so simple. It's literally like, "All right, you're going to help us." Now, there's no real reason why they needed Mark Wahlberg. I still. Do not understand, actually, outside of maybe the initial thing where they were like, she, I guess, did the background check to make sure his background was clean. And there was a moment where they said that. Outside of that, and I was like, couldn't you have gotten literally anybody to do that? And why? And you don't have to make them a spy.
Yeah.
I am so confused.
It's strange.
And you took him to London?
It's strange to fly. Yeah, to fly. Like, they could have grabbed anyone off the street and had
them.
Who
is he even pretending to be by the way, when he was going to get the phone to do the bidding?
It was Mr. Weston, whoever that is.
Yep. Yeah.
And who is he representing?
I thought the union.
Himself?
No. Not the union. No,
okay.
Well, a fake. You fake?
No, it had to be fake, right? Because they didn't want to give it to the union.
Oh, right. It couldn't be the union. He had to be somebody else. Oh, then
anyway,
I don't remember.
Anyway, so then that happens. The thing, he does everything he's supposed to do, but there's another team of people who I forgot. Did we ever get explained who those people were who were trying to kill him? It was one of the other bet people who were going to be betting.
Okay, right? So here's my question. Was it somebody else? Are we supposed to take it that it was just Luke Cage the whole time? Because was there another faction for real, for real?
I think there was. I think they said like the Russians or somebody. Like it was like they were trying to get rid of the competition.
Yeah.
When the people came after him. I don't think it was supposed to be Luke. Like it wasn't. Yeah, well, I don't think that was supposed to be him. I think what was supposed to be him was like when the girl died.
Right. Got it.
But this was still confusing because they were like, really where's he going? Why is he following them? But following them and doing all of that stuff was how he got the device that he was supposed to
get. Got the phone. That's what he was supposed to do.
So it's like, what?
They literally acted like they've never done this before. Like everybody acted like this was everyone's first time. They're like, whoa, they're taking him to a second location. It's like, Yeah, of course. They wouldn't. What?
Right? Also, they blamed him for when the phone got smashed. And I was like, my man was getting beat up and running from multiple people.
People were trying to cut him. They were trying to shoot him. That's not his fault.
That whole thing.
And so then we had this whole thing of like him being like, well, you're going to get a second chance. This was I almost used this as my line, James. Because it was like, all right, he failed, even though he didn't. And then they go to a bar and Hallie's there. And then at some point he's like, so are you going to, when are you going to drug me? Isn't that why I'm here? And she's like, that is what, you know, the boss wants me to put you back because, you know, you didn't do well. And he was like, okay, but I don't like disappointing people. And, you know, I don't like letting people down. So I want to do this because I feel like I let you down because you chose me. And I was like, what? You almost died today. Can you act like you almost died?
Yeah.
You're 55.
Like, how many innocent lives were endangered by the like open street gunfight that happened?
Yeah.
Like, true. Across buildings. And like, this is not working. You have to send him home. Like, yeah, it.
Yeah, it makes you sad when you think about it. It's like, oh, okay.
I don't start getting super mad though until a couple scenes from now is when I really started getting mad.
Oh, what's the one that made you mad? I think I was over it at this point. I think that's what happened.
I certainly didn't. I was like, okay, I don't buy anything that happens at this point. But then I got mad later. I got mad when Mike Coulter shows back up again. I just got mad. Like, it was just like, if the movie had any energy up until that point, which is debatable, that took all of the energy out of it. His last line is, let me take care of her, to the auctioneer woman. And it was just like, y'all about to leave him alone with this auctioneer woman? Like, why is he at this? Why is he here? Like, what? Like, this is too, there are entirely too many red flags. And then, of course, in the scenes that follow, they're like, you think I'm that stupid? And it's like, well, what?
What was any of this?
What was any of this? I don't know, man. It just really, I just was really. Oh, and right before this, I just have to say this too, because whatever. But right before this was when I started getting mad at the direction. When Homegirl dies, she's laying down in the back of the van, and my man goes up to check on her.
Oh my
but
goodness.
It's all filmed from outside of the van. Like, we never get any kind of intimate moment with this dead person. How she died. We don't see any wounds. We don't see anything. It's just,
every time there was a scene like that, I was like, did they run out of time on the shooting day? Like, what's going on? Like, it just felt like there were just moments where I was like, why did we not check in on this? Also, it was so crazy in that scene. They were like, oh no. And then they're like, she's dead. And then somebody was like, there was like a picture of their tower, you know, where their head quarter, and they're like, oh no. And then Halle Berry like is like, run. Get out of there. And I was like, get out of there. And they like run to the top and it explodes. I was like, what? It's been 5 minutes.
Yo.
So they found your location and in 5 minutes they were able to get a bomb up to the top of that building and blow it up.
You know, there was a logical things that happened in this movie that it was one of those things where I'm like, was there a second pass done on the script? You know? Like, you know what I mean? And I truly don't mean that in a dickish way. I was just like, there's just so many holes that, or to be truthfully honest, I will say like this movie was an easy watch. So maybe that's the point. It's like, you know, you're not trying to make a movie for a movie theater, but you're making something that like, hey, if you're at home on a Sunday cleaning the house for 2 hours, I got you. And I don't even mean that in a bad way. Maybe that's the point. You know what I mean?
Joe and David are not a writing team, it doesn't look like. And so my thought would be that one of them did a pass and then they brought on the other one and then they share credit. That's what I would. And so I would. That's also partly why it feels so like like they're trying to do these kind of like somewhat opposing things throughout, because it's like, oh yeah, then somebody else came in to make it funny or to boost up the spy or whatever.
The comedy felt so tacked on.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably what David did.
It just none of it felt like it was infused into the story. That is probably what happened, but it almost felt like they were like, shouldn't this movie be a comedy? And they were like, oh yeah, I guess
that's what happened.
Yeah. Let's try to find places in it that are funny. Mm-hmm. And they just like wrote random jokes in every now and then, but like it did not flow. Like it was weird. And the comedy was almost never coming from the story. You know, it was just like they decided to be like, now let's add a joke here. But it was never like a great, to me, like a great example of this was after the car chase scene, or like in the middle of the car chase scene, Mark Wahlberg like kicks out like one of the like head Iranian dudes, like, and he's like out of the car, like lying on the ground. And then the music, like the chase music stops and the movie slows down, and Mark Wahlberg like just runs up and kicks him once more when he's on the ground. And he's like, prick. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Like from a comedic point of view, it doesn't make any sense. Like it wasn't like, he was like, would you just, like they weren't having an argument. This wasn't a guy who he's been fighting with the entire movie. Like, it was not motivated. It was just like, I don't know. It'd be funny if that happened, I guess.
I similarly think that's something that's played for comedy in that sequence that just comes off as weird is the way both Mike and Hallie commandeer their vehicles. So like Mike comes up and he like, there's like a song playing, you know, and he like grabs the guy and like throws him down, but like in a way that like looks like he's like,
it looks ridiculous,
winding up to grab him and throw him up. And then Hallie does like a, excuse me, I'm gonna take your car, but it's like not do you know what I mean? Like
it yeah, seems it's like set up, like we haven't we haven't seen this, like this version of Halle Berry's character, we haven't seen the entire film. And we don't even know Mike Coulter's character. So like, it was just like, you just invented it for this exact moment for the purpose of a joke. But the joke isn't, you need to make the characters and the premise so that the jokes then, I mean, guys, can you just let us make a movie? Like, can you please just let us freaking make a movie?
Yeah,
oh my God, guys. Oh.
It's really frustrating.
Let us do it. Let us do it. We can do it.
Is it bad that I was like watching this movie and going, you know what, man? Sometimes you just need like one yes, or like I was talking to a friend. I was talking to a friend, and he's making a movie, and his best friend is utterly famous and popular. And he will openly tell you, like, he got his first gig, writing gig and directing gig while working for this friend. And I'm like, you know what, man? I respect this so much, because I'm like, you get to learn how to be better. And like, I listen to him talk and I'm like, oh, you're watching things to be better in this field. Where sometimes we will have to watch some of these movies and I'm like, does anybody care? Like, it's going to get made. People are going to watch it. Yeah. It's like, does it, you know, like, does it matter? You know, like, does it matter? Like, for instance, when they were making this movie, was somebody saying, hey, I want to make one of the best action comedies, you know, or romantic thrillers, whatever you want to call it.
Here's my thing. Not every movie is going to be able to be like a super passion project or whatever. But like I look at this stuff and I'm like, are you trying to make it fun? Like, is it fun for you? Like, it's one thing for you to be so passionate about and trying to make it the best movie ever. It's another thing to be like, hey, like, I want to make this fun. You know, like, I think the pitch is fun. Like, Mark, apparently this was pitched by Mark Wahlberg and this other guy who has a story by credit. And they pitched this to Netflix. And the title of it originally was Our Man from New Jersey. And the idea is like, yeah, dude, what if like a regular working Joe got swept up into some spy stuff, you know, essentially.
Okay.
You know, it's similar to the other guys, honestly. It doesn't.
And David were first.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that different. I mean, I guess the other guys, the other guys is a great movie. So it does feel really different.
So good.
But it's similar in the sense of like, what if an average Joe became a spy kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. And they pitched it with Mark Wahlberg in mind. So I get that. But I just was like, they didn't do like the comedy that is, there is a comedic premise in this 100%. Film. And I felt like it wasn't explored. Like rarely was the comedy coming from the fact that this is just a Jersey dude. Who's like, I don't know this spy stuff. Like he should be having like things that he's like, what the hell is this? You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, like,
and he did, I will say to Mark Wahlberg's credit, he had an interesting physicality that he would adopted to like the way he held guns and the way he would run sometimes.
Yeah.
But to your point of this, the one time that it seemed like they tried to have it play out is when he's like parkouring around the city, and it's
because he can parkour,
you know, because he's, I guess, good at that or whatever, because from his time as a construction worker. But it was like even that didn't hit in the way that I feel like it should have.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, no. I mean, also my thing is, it's one of those things, I think the beauty of this movie, which you could have had, the movie I think wasn't the best when it first came out, but it was a movie that came out in like 1990, 1991 called If Looks Could Kill. And it's basically like a college kid or something who gets mistaken.
I just watched that.
Did you?
Yeah, I just watched, I had to watch it for some.
Wow.
For something like this, probably a podcast or something. But I just watched
the movie. That's crazy. The movie, I'm like, if I got the remake, it would probably be something like this. Where it's just like a dude who gets mistaken for another dude, but it is some spy stuff. But the guy throughout the whole movie is so unfit to be a spy until, of course, the very end. Like, of course, he picks up on spy stuff. Mark Wahlberg completes his training and is perfect in 26 minutes. Like, literally, I was like, oh, he's great. And nope, he had never had fight training. You know, they show him getting beat up at a bar.
Yeah. But then he's so bad in the field.
Was he that bad?
He's pretty bad in the field. Like,
I guess, but
not within the context, not actually within the context of the movie, right? Like, it's like we were just talking about that first mission that he failed, but it's like, no, he didn't fail it, you know. The most like, oh, he's not good at this thing he does is like when he's scared of the mirror. You know, it's like it's unfortunate that they like don't play it up well enough, but like they want you to think that the movie wants you to think that he's not good at this, but they don't actually show it, I think, or don't show it well enough.
And I also just felt like Halle Berry's character was so underwritten because we don't really understand what her motivation is outside of just being a generic kind of, you know, hero.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like, it's like, does she like Mark Wahlberg's character? Like, what happened with her and her husband? Like, she's like, oh, we were separated, but did we ever get, we never actually found out why they were separated and why she was still working with him. And even the like,
why she listened to him?
Yeah, like I don't even understand why they
she was not listening to him. She was just like, I think it's better for my safety to put a tracker on him and just see how this plays out. But anything could have, you know what I mean? Like anything could have happened next.
Yeah, 100%.
Anything could have happened next.
I don't even know why they made that a reveal that she was married. Like, I guess the reveal is to interrupt her and Mark Wahlberg and like put a thing between them
at the
them.
End of the movie.
But
yeah,
it was act three.
I don't know.
It's act three. It's an act three.
I know. Should have been an act two thing.
He should have came back at the top of act two after Mark Wahlberg finally got good. There should have been a scene, which we did need to go to both of your points about how Halle Berry was written, of like, we should have had more moments with them outside of work. And like, maybe, you know, when they finally do get close, he comes back and he's there. And the whole time Mark Wahlberg is like, I don't something I don't trust about this guy. Then you can get that, oh, you're just jealous. I'm telling you, something's up with this guy. Then when he's at the end, it's like, I knew it. I knew it. You know what? I agree with Bray. Someone just let us make the movie, yo. You know what? This is my thing. If y'all don't want ideas, give us the idea that you're like, hey, someone bought in. And I'm like, okay, let us take it. And we'll make sure it makes sense and it's good. That's all you got to do, baby. Think about it. Yeah. James, hit me, James. Okay, James.
Okay, James. Right, yes. What? Yes.
He gets, all of a sudden, they're on a date, James, and they're walking. They're walking down the street. It's Halle Berry, Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. She gets a call from an unknown place, right? And it's like, what the hell is this? And then she hears the dude. And she's like, oh my God, you're alive. He's like, yeah, I've been caught somewhere. So now her and Mark Wahlberg have to go, quote unquote, save him.
Yes.
And he's like kind of battered and beaten. Now she's almost like nursing him back to health. Maybe we didn't know they were married, but we get to see this kind of reaction from the two of them. Mark Wahlberg can be a little jealous. And you can even have, like, since they ceremoniously just killed the Asian girl, she could be like, honestly, have something to do and like befriend him. You know what I mean? Then when he turns, it's like, everybody's a wreck. It's like, oh my God, you came back. We were so happy. And you set everybody up. And if we can see J.K. Rowling be mad that he got set up, like, we can have the big villain reveal. Mm-hmm. Oh, not J.K. Rowling. J.K. Simmons. My bad. My bad.
I didn't notice it at first.
My bad. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we could have did something.
Yeah. Yeah. I even would have appreciated, like, he comes back and there's not only does he have that, like, something's off about him, but, like, he poses that threat of, like, the person who he was hired to replace is, like, better than him, you know? Like,
yes,
he's trying to be a better spy because of the other guys there, and he's, like, being so much better. Like, that would have been fun stuff to see.
I agree, bro.
This ending, the ending was a bunch of, like, I don't know, man.
It took so long, but the action set pieces were not that interesting nor fun. And Mike Coulter was just
his, like, running was wild. Did anybody notice his running?
Oh,
my man's running was crazy.
Oh, I don't know if I know.
Crazy. I like, y'all gotta get that man a looser suit. Don't do this to him. don't do that to him.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening?
I was watching it, Rachel, and she brought up...
Luke Cage.
Tom Cruise. And I'm like, you know what, man? Tom Cruise is the best at what he does, yo. Like,
wait, he had the Tom Cruise run, or he didn't have the Tom Cruise run?
Okay. Did not. And I'll tell you this right now. I done saw, what was it, that last Mission Impossible. I know it didn't do as well, but I'm looking at Tom Cruise jump from things, take his little motorcycle, go off a cliff. Look, man, I need to go to the Tom Cruise School of Training, because this man is doing it well into his 60s. And I don't know how it's happening, but I'm like,
yeah,
he part robot. Easy. Easy. But yeah, guys, that's we did it. You know what? Look at us. We did it. Think about it, guys. We did it. And you know what, audience? We did it, so you don't have to. Okay? That's what kind of people we are. We care about the listeners.
There's,
you know,
nicely.
Can I just say one last thing? Just one last thing.
Yeah. I actually want to say one last thing.
There's a running thing that happens where they're like, we have a leak. You know, the thing where they're like, oh, we have a leak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's that part is devoid of tension. Like, it never actually feels.
Oh, right.
1000%. Like, it truly, like, everybody looks at each other and they're like, well, it's none of us, so I don't know. It's probably not a leak. And they're like, yeah, you're right. And then, yeah, never does anyone suspect anyone else. You're never, like, it doesn't feel like anybody's scared to be with anyone. Like, nobody's looking at anybody else with a little bit more of an intense, suspicious eye. Yeah. They just,
It doesn't build into anything. And then when it's revealed that it was Mike Coulter the whole time, it's like, well, you had a leak, but for the last 2 weeks, Was there a leak? Like, there was not a leak.
Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, there was just, what?
Seems like there wasn't a leak.
Unless he, you know, still has access to blah, blah, blah. But wouldn't you know? Like, you would be like, oh, his such and such logged in on blah, blah, blah. Like, you would know these things. It was weird, strange, strange thing. Like, they were just like, I guess we should call out that there's a leak.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Like,
wow.
Oh, and the thing that I wanted to say was that he goes to his best friend's wedding or whatever. But I always like to test it. Like, they act like this wedding is not the wedding of a 55-year-old man.
Bro, I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, bro, this is at least a second marriage, you know, if not a third. And y'all aren't acting like it. Like, somebody at, I think Mark at some point during his speech was like, well, glad someone's finally taking him off our hands. And I was like, he's 50. Like, what?
People get
what's happening
late
here? Like, yo, like, this ain't, I know that's late, true, but brain, like, come yeah, on, brain, man. Yeah, y'all, yeah, brain. I know.
People have brain. Late life, brain.
Yeah, brain.
I know they do. I know they do. I'm just saying that, you know, like, there should have been they joke with each other, like, they rib each other. So that's the whole point. He's like, man, we were beginning to think you weren't going to find anybody. You know what I mean? Like, I thought the only speech I'd be able to give was at your funeral, my man. Like, you getting old, you know? I mean, son, I mean,
yeah, give us something. Yeah, true.
Call
true.
It that out to any right. extent.
That is true. That is true. It's like, wait, what do you mean? No, man.
All right, whatever. You know, thank you guys so much for listening.
Oh my gosh.
It's time for The Cause. We don't rate and review films based on how much we liked it. And there was no Cause. Swirl in this film.
Which makes no sense. This time.
For a rom-com, it's crazy because they didn't even kiss.
Makes no sense, bro.
I mean, I was like, are we back to 1993? Like, what's going on? Y'all ain't kissing?
I do not understand.
Yup.
I do not understand.
We rate and review films not based on how much we liked it, but whether or not it helps the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like a film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it's someone helped the cause, we give it a white palm. Feel like I don't really think it helped the cause at all. We don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for The Union.
Damn.
Right. Here we go. All right.
Oh, right. No, bro.
Okay. One.
All right. Oh, no.
Two. Three.
Jamie, you guys are liars. No. I need to explain it to me. Explain
right,
it
got
to me.
Two white palms.
No way.
Here's what I gotta say. Yeah, I almost gave it nothing. I'll first say that.
Oh my goodness.
I am giving it a palm because I think it so helps the cause to have like a leading black woman action star kind of character. Even though, you know, I know, even though this movie does sort of, it is about Mark Wahlberg's character more than her character. But I would say she is the co-lead of this movie. And even though, yes, Halle Berry is a huge star, I still think that movies like this are important for, you know, young black women to see, black, especially to see. And older black women, whatever, you know, like, see, like, look at people my age, blah, blah, you know, whatever it is that you get from it. I think that that's good. And then, you know, I know Mike Coulter's like barely in this, but I think like he's still in the beginnings of his, or I guess he's sort of been around for almost a decade now. Right. But, you know, it's good to see him, you know, branching outside of the TV space, even though this was straight to Netflix, but you know what I'm saying? So that's what I think is good. That specifically.
Okay. Okay. Sure. I gave it nothing. I gave it nothing because it didn't put on like a new, it didn't put on like no new black actors or directors or writers.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I think James, you're right. I think Halle Berry isn't written well. I think after John Wick, to me, I'm going to be truly honest. There are certain moments where I know people say things are changing, but there's times where I just have clear evidence where it's not. Where John Wick, when she was in John Wick 3, her action scene was so big and was so talked about
that.
I was like, oh, she's about to get an action movie soon. Because like, this is what happens to white people. They do a scene like this and they get the movie. You know what I mean? Look at the boy that be smiling all the time. What's his name? The white dude that be smiling?
She was in that MMA movie, Bruise.
So she wrote and directed that, and that came out before.
That's true. Oh, okay.
It came out before.
She did it herself. Yeah.
Bruise got her the scene in.
Yes.
What you're saying is Bruise got her the scene in John Wick.
Yes.
Maybe she wrote, well, I mean, Bruise came out in 2020.
Yeah, and
John Wick 3 came out in 2019.
Okay. But she still did Bruise herself, though.
But yeah, she still did Bruise herself. That is true.
I'm just saying, like, my thing is, Halle Berry at this point has done enough. You know what I mean? Oh, this is the guy I was talking about. Glenn Powell been around for a minute. Glenn Powell was in Top Gun, and people are like, this dude's funny. You know how many movies Glenn Powell got? You telling me you can't give Halle Berry, her fighting with that dog. Come on now. Her and Bruise, she's shredded, fighting, trained as an MMA fighter. Are you telling me her first big action movie after that is with Mark Wahlberg playing second lead? The movie didn't even open. Okay, this is my big thing. Okay, hear me out. The movie didn't even open with her having a big action scene herself. I'm okay with the team, you know, dying at the beginning. But normally what would happen is like, you would see that she's a badass.
Yeah, she's a part of it.
Yes, and something happens where like maybe she's a little bit too cocky. So she has to learn a lesson by the end of the movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if she fails to figure out a code, everyone dies. Now the whole movie, she can't let Mark Wahlberg in because she killed something that gives her agency. And she got nothing, bro. She got nothing.
The beginning of the movie has nothing, like doesn't have any impact on her and the story that comes after. It's crazy because a huge traumatic thing happens and it doesn't really impact the way that she deals with Mark Wahlberg at all in any way, shape,
or form. And it really should. That was your husband.
Again? Yeah, really should. And that was your husband?
That was your husband.
Like she's not overprotective of Mark because she's afraid that he's going to die. She's not like,
chip on her shoulder. Like she's not like not refusing to let him in. There's not even that going on.
She's not like, actually, I can't, like, I do like you, but it's too soon. Like nothing.
Yeah. It's really strange. Really confusing.
All right. Well, I give it a palm just because Halle Berry is in it. And so is Mike Coulter. And so was Echo, you know, from Lost.
Oh,
and, you know,
I forgot about
you got
that.
Those three in it, and you know, maybe it helps. I don't know, man. We're going back. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to The Union. What else can we say other than you can follow us at Blackman Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackmanPodcast.com is our website where we got links to, you know, our Patreon and Red Circle, $5 a month. You got episodes coming out every other week, you know, helps keep this free podcast free. Mm-hmm. We do really fun stuff there. We, you know, we reviewed Borderlands. That's about to come, or did that just come out? And what else we got? You know, we did a lot of stuff. Monkey Man, Tyler Perry's Divorce in the Black.
Yeah, we got Tyler Perry's on there. You want Perry thoughts? Go to the Patreon.
Tyler Perry on there. Hidden. Watch it. Listen to it while you can. How about that?
Yeah. And if you want to follow me at John Braylock, you can. You don't have to.
You can follow me at Rule of Three Inc. You have to follow me. Rule of Three Inc.
The fact he's like
at Rule of Three Inc. RuleOfThreeInc.com.
You can if you want.
You have to. It's an obligation.
You gotta. So you don't have to follow Bray. James, you gotta follow. And I'm, you know, whatever. I'm at Gerard Mulligan on Twitter and Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you all, you know, so much for listening. And we'll see you next week. Peace. Or 2 weeks. Sorry. Peace.